Coming up today on the show, we are going to continue our pros and cons at Walt Disney World. That's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 150 of Traveling with the Mouse for October the 8th, 2018. My name is Adam Brown, and I am, of course, joined by John Martin.
That would be me. Hello, everyone.
Alrighty. So, we've done this episode in the past, or a couple of times, indeed. I believe. This indeed. Type of episode, where we have a very long list of all the attractions, restaurants, and resorts, and all that kind of stuff at Walt Disney World. And through our supercomputer that we have here, we randomly select one of these, and then we will talk about it, discuss it, and just to have a little fun with it, we assigned to whoever's hosting will give the positives, and whoever is the co-host of this episode is supposed to do the negatives just for fun, but you know, we can still just give our opinions on it anyway as well. So the first one is the Walt Disney World Railroad at Magic Kingdom. This is the railroad that goes around the circumference of the Magic Kingdom with stops at Main Street, Frontierland, and Fantasyland. So what do you think? Well, negative Nancy. What do you got to say about it?
So I was just about to ask, which one am I doing?
Cons. What is your cons for this?
Cons.
It's going to be closed for a while.
I'm going to say the cons. Yeah, well, I'm going to say the cons on the Walt. Cause this was specifically the Walt Disney World Railroad,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To me personally, one of the cons is I would like to see them have at least some of the cars like they do out in California, or at least one of their trains, I think.
Facing sideways.
That faces, yeah.
Inward.
That faces inward.
Yeah, I agree. I also think the Rivers of America at Disneyland is amazing now, the way they've added the bridge and all the stuff that the railroad goes over. It looks amazing.
And they have that section at the one in Disneyland that goes into, what, like the prehistoric world or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So if they had something like that, you know, I think they have more to see on the Disneyland version than they true. Do on the Disney World one currently.
Very true.
So my con is, just, that's one of my cons is comparing those two. I guess I would say another one is, I think it could be better served if the stations were spread out a little differently. I mean, I don't know how much they could do about that now. And maybe the reason why they don't have it stop in, say, Tomorrowland directly is because, well, it just wouldn't fit in, really.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I think they try to hide it the most in that section because having a locomotive come through the land of the future, seems a little bit...
out of place.
Losing the magic, I guess, in that point.
Right.
That, and if you're going all the way around, it does take up a good chunk of time. So, I mean, I could think of better ways to spend
your
it.
Time.
I personally, I mean, this is not really a con, but I personally have used it, like, first thing I get in the park before and go straight over to where Splash and Big Thunder are.
Yeah.
And do one of those.
That's not a bad strategy. Thing.
It is a strategy. And I would say that's a late arrival strategy because if you get there around lunchtime, mm-hmm. I want to say Big Thunder had like a 20-minute wait that I did this once before. Of course, that was, you know, take into account it was September, but I know September now versus what it used to be is still not
true.
The same. So 20 minutes, I think, is not terrible by any means. So
yeah,
for Big Thunder.
Yeah. Pros are it's still fun. It's a Disney railroad, which is still very iconic, and it's just fun to look at, really. But I agree with, you know, about the trains. It's nice at Disneyland that it faces inward. And the funny thing is the train that goes to Rafiki's Planet Watch, they face in, or well, they face in one direction. They're not front to back like the one at Magic Kingdom. So it's kind of funny that one train at Disney World does do this. It's just not the one you would think at Magic Kingdom. It's still iconic. It's still fun. There's not really much more to say about it. I still enjoy it. But, yeah, I mean, I wish there were more things to look at along the way, I think. The most exciting thing is going through Splash Mountain, I guess, in Frontierland area.
And that's really not, that's not a whole lot to that. I mean, yeah. You get that cool little one little window to the one scene, but...
Yeah, that's about it. It's not that amazing. Whereas, say, the People Mover, you get lots of things to see, you know, which is a similar type of thing. It's, you get to see a whole lot more of the park that way. Anyway, so let's move on to our next one. And the computer is hard at work, randomly generating the next one, which is the Plaza Ice Cream Parlor. Is that what it's still called? At Magic Kingdom? Plaza Ice Cream Shop?
Yeah, because it's parlor. Connected to
the Plaza Restaurant. Yeah.
But it's considered to be a separate part of it, I think, or it was.
So, I mean, I can start with the pros here. It's ice cream. I mean, what more is... what more do you have to say? It's in a great location on Main Street. You know, you got Casey's on the other side. You got this smell that comes out of here that is probably artificially brought into the air. But it is still nice when you're walking up by it to have that sugary ice cream smell that you get when you walk by it. And if it's not busy, I'll go in there and get some ice cream if I'm in the mood for ice cream. I typically don't do it that often because it's overpriced for, I believe it's Eddie's ice cream is the brand that they, at least last time I was in there, they use. And it's, you know, it's all right. You're paying like triple what you would pay for it in a grocery store or whatever for the same thing. But it's still ice cream. It's Main Street. It's cool. So there you have it.
Yeah, see, the thing for me with this one is I don't see what the big appeal is, I guess. With the location of it is, I don't really think of having ice cream at usually at the point of the day whenever I'm
there,
coming through there.
Like in the morning or at the evening? It's like you kind of want that midday, pretty much, right?
Yeah. I usually opt for, you know, a Dole Whip option most of the time, although it has been overhyped,
yeah,
a little bit, and kind of takes away from it a little bit because of how busy they are over there. But as far as, you know, I could get ice cream, like the Disney brand ice cream, whatever, have it at just about any place. So I don't think there's anything in particularly special about the Plaza. And I think the only reason why I would get it there is if I were eating at the Plaza restaurant, or as I said, if I just happened to be there at the right time of day, which just doesn't really happen that often. I just don't think about going in there, truthfully, anymore. I think it suffers a little bit from location. It's to the right, just as you exit Main Street, if you're heading towards the castle area.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, something about that side does not stand out, I don't think, as much as, say, the other side where Casey's is. I think Casey's signage maybe stands out better. I don't know.
I would say the only redeeming factor of it for me, because I don't really go in there very often, like you said, it's same kind of what you said. I don't really have a craving for ice cream or usually when I'm going by it. But I do love the smell when you're walking down Main Street. There's something about that I really love. Even if I'm not really wanting ice cream at that moment, it's still nice to walk by it and have that sort of smell. So let's fire up the computer again. And the next one is... Ooh, I think this is our first resort that we've had on here, if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe we've gotten a resort to come up yet. And that is Coronado Springs Resort.
Coronado Springs just by itself?
Yeah, the resort.
And I'm supposed to talk about the cons of one of my... go-tos. Yeah, there's the most definitely cons to mention. And now, of course, it's going under renovation for some of these cons, but
yes,
location can be a big factor in this one as far as convenience goes. As so, I'm basically making your argument, I guess, now that I usually argue against. If you have the buildings on the far side, which I can't remember what they are now, the Ranchos.
Yeah.
So that section, you know, if you're over there, it can be quite a hike to get to the main building where the everything, like the food options are and everything like that. If you happen to be traveling there and not driving, or you usually don't drive a vehicle, probably not the most convenient. The times that I've stayed here, I did drive a car. Yeah. So that made a difference. I could either drive to the front and park at one of the places at the front if I was going to the front, or you know, just use the vehicle to drive to the parks, because you can park free at the parks. So
right.
Of course, now you always have the minivan as an option, but of course the con there is the cost.
It is. Especially unless you got a minivan to go from the ranches to the front. Like, I just want to go to the main building.
How much that one would cost?
Yeah. That'd be pretty funny.
I would say it kind of suffers. Now, again, it'll be different once the renovations are complete, but it kind of suffers from a lack of quality of food, restaurants, such.
Mm-hmm. For now, yeah.
Definitely, the times that I've stayed there, I didn't really eat there very much. I got some from the quick service. It just, there was not very much appealing overall, I think. It was usually the grabbing, if I was going to like grab something to go either in the morning or grab something in the evening if I was, you know, coming back for a little bit, you know. The only other thing is it's not really close to any park, per se. Right. I guess the closest one would be Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
But it is, I guess, in that sense, it's not really close to any one, but it's about equal distance to all of them. So it's kind of centrally located in that sense. Right. But it's just not close to any one. It's very close to equal distance to just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is not close so much. So there's that. It's typically used for businesses. So, I mean, you might be turned off by that.
Yeah. So, if there's a big convention in town, yeah, it could be very, very busy. And that could be a problem. But as far as the positives go, it's good price for the most part. I mean, I've seen some of the like more preferred rooms and whatnot can get pricey depending on the time of year, of course. But overall, the price is pretty decent. And the quality of resort overall that you get for the moderate price, you do have options for dining, even though they may not be most appealing right now until the new restaurants open. The rooms are really nice. I'll say that. The rooms are great for what you pay for. And while it's not close to any particular park, but if you want to drive and you have that mindset going into it that you're going to drive wherever you go, you will get to the parks quicker than taking a bus from there, that's for sure, by driving your own car. Because you can get, well, of course, you know, you have to deal with the parking lot of the park and getting to the front. You know, the bus does drop you off right at the front, but you can get there faster. At least you feel better about getting there faster, because there's like four bus stops, I think, that go around the whole resort and stop at the different sections. So buses can be slow, and you can also have trouble with having a full bus by the time it gets to your stop, depending on which one you're at. So there's issues there with buses, but you know, if you drive, I think you're in good shape staying at this hotel. It's a nice resort overall. So I am really looking forward to staying here again once the new tower is open and the restaurant in the middle of the lake is open. I'm really excited about staying here again, so I will definitely be on the lookout for this resort in the future. All right.
Alrighty then.
So let's continue on and. Boop, boop, boop. The next one is a restaurant at Epcot, one that you've done a couple of times and I have steered away from because mixed reviews, and that is Coral Reef Restaurant.
Oh.
I think you didn't have the greatest experience there last time you were there.
No. No, and it was related to the service. In fact, we got seated almost like right next to, I should say, another family, which, as I understand it from talking to them, that they had another couple that they were wanting to be seated with or something like that. And, you know, they weren't making a big deal about it, but they kind of made the comment of the fact that they seated us right there where they could have seated them there if they had been efficient with that.
So it was already awkward to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, one of our party members is relatively close to their party members, you know, as far as the space between them sitting wise.
I see.
And on top of that, you know, and again, they were a nice family to talk to. We talked to them a little bit. He actually made the comment, the dad did, that he's like, feels like we've been in here a really long time. And he said it, you know, and I was like, yeah, it's not just the feeling. We have been in here a pretty long time. I mean, spending over, I want to say it was a good part of an hour on dinner is not normally, I mean, a bad thing, I guess. Depending on what it is you're doing. I mean, it's not a bad thing if you're actually having a full-on dining experience. But, I mean, even though that's a table service restaurant, I wouldn't consider Coral Reef like an hour dining experience. You know what I mean? It's not one of those four-course meal type experiences that I would expect to take an hour to really enjoy it. It's in a theme park, so therefore they have guests that want to be in and out in a reasonable amount of time to make better use of the rest of their time. Now, I did find out that they had like a wedding party that particular night, so that might have factored into it, but still it was mismanagement of time. How they handled things in general. The food wasn't bad. It wasn't the best thing in the world. It wasn't the best seafood in the world. It wasn't that memorable food-wise this particular time. I can't even remember what I had. I'm pretty sure I had mahi. But I don't remember that much about it. I mean, that was just, it's not even a year ago yet now that we did this.
Oh, wow.
And the time I had it before, I did have whatever mahi dish that they had then. And it was really good to me, I thought, even though they had notoriously had mixed reviews, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Even then. But I had a good experience then. There's just nothing, I guess it doesn't have a true repeat appeal to me currently. They would have to really step it up for me to just say, oh, wow, that's a place I really want to go. I would more or less settle for it because it was available than I would want to go there type deal. So
just for people out there who may not know, explain where this restaurant's located and kind of the theme as well.
Well, I mean, it's basically like dining in, right next to an aquarium.
So it's at the Living Seas Pavilion.
It's in the Living Seas Pavilion. Sorry, yeah, that's what you were getting at. Okay, yes. I thought maybe we had already mentioned that. I guess we hadn't.
No, we hadn't.
But yeah, it's a section where you can view the large tank, the largest section of it. You actually you have a view.
So do you see any of the divers and stuff in there, or is it just like the fish part?
I couldn't even tell you. I haven't seen any divers in forever. I mean, I haven't seen hardly anything. I think they even have less sea life in there currently than they used to.
That's true. It is kind of sad. It's changed so much.
Yeah. The thing that I've always mentioned about here is it's almost like you're eating seafood while looking at these sea creatures, so it's kind of like rubbing it in their face, I guess. Like, hey, I mean your cousin, you know, something like that, you know.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a morbid side to it.
Right, that's what I was going to ask. Like, how did it feel eating fish in front of fish, like staring at you?
Personally, it didn't bother me.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So would you say the mahi-mahi was awful, awful?
I wouldn't say that. It's
a little friend's joke there.
I don't think it was cooked by Monica.
Yeah, gotcha. Cool.
It's one that is usually available or become right. available.
That's true. I have seen it a lot. So that was
the positive side of it.
Yeah.
I guess.
This is one you can usually find a day of, you know, pretty easily, yeah. like for different times.
And if you enjoy seafood, then, you know, it's worth a try if that's, you know, cuisine.
Sure.
That you like, in which I'm a seafood person. So.
Yeah. Alrighty, so let's spin the wheel one more time. And the next one that the computer has generated for us is it's another restaurant. We're on restaurant kick right now. But it is.
This is going to be AKA the dining review.
Basically. This is one I know we've both done. It's been a while for both of us, but we have done this one. Oh. This one is at Disney Springs. Oh. Planet Hollywood.
Ah, yes.
It has changed since we've both been there. They've basically closed it, remodeled it, new menu as far as I can tell, but pretty much the same kind of atmosphere from what I've gathered. But Planet Hollywood, Disney Springs, it's located near the... It's in a great location near the bus stops where they've moved the new main bus hub for Disney Springs. Not one of my favorite places, so I don't really think I can come up with a whole lot of positives here other than maybe the new menu is good and it's less noisy, perhaps. I don't know. That's some questionable things, but what is your experience here?
Well, my experience here was going on 10 years ago or somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I don't really remember a ton about the food. I don't think it... I mean, I seem to think it was... decent. It was pretty good for what it was. I don't really remember what I had. Obviously, it was 10 years ago. The experience going in there, how they take your picture outside, it's okay. You know, it's like, I guess it's supposed to be kind of like a red carpet experience type deal.
Right. Then they try to sell it to you, which I'm pretty sure they don't do if you're an actual celebrity on a red carpet, but
probably not. Yeah.
Like, here, you want to buy your own photo?
But I mean, when you go inside and you see some of the props and stuff that they have in the restaurant, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some movie props and stuff, yeah.
I'm trying to remember, they put us in a, it's almost like it was in a, it was a smaller room that was kind of like in the middle of another one. It was kind of closed off, almost like we were in, encased in glass almost, with where these tables were.
Were you upstairs?
Don't think so.
Okay.
I think that was still downstairs.
Okay.
It, the best thing I can think of to describe is it kind of reminded me like a phone booth almost, with a, like a little bit larger. With a, like a glass encasing, and it had just the one opening, you know, from where you could go in and out of, and including the server. So it was kind of boxed off almost. Like, there was some specific memorabilia in there, but I don't remember what it was now. What it was a movie theme inside of it, and I don't remember what it was now. I'd have to go back there to see it. I bet it's probably still decorated the same way, even though they've had an overhaul. You don't think so?
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's been 8 years for me since I've been there, and didn't love it. It was too loud for me, and didn't love the noise.
I was going to say, one of the things that should be the telltale of the experience there is the fact that one of the reasons we went is because we had like coupons vouchers. Or discounts or something that they gave us.
I was just about to say that, so yeah.
That's the, you know.
Yeah, that's a good... way to tell if a restaurant is not very popular or very good is that. And this is back in the days. I don't think I've gotten one recently where they used to send you this packet of vouchers for, you know, like the mini golf or spa treatment or some stuff like that. And then you would have Planet Hollywood as a... The one I did, it was like a free gift and... I think it was a discount on the food, too. And the free gift was a terrible, like, little keychain that they had in a drawer somewhere that at the end I asked them, like, where's my free gift? And they're like, go over here and see this person. And I went over there, and they're like, and they just grabbed a keychain out of a drawer and handed it to me, like, here you go. Oh, okay, this is great. It was totally worth putting up with the extremely loud noise and the mediocre food for a keychain. So, lesson learned. and that's one of them. Another one they give discounts to a lot is Bongo's Cuban Cafe, and yeah, it's mediocre food again, and it's one of those that's like, whenever they discount deep, it's probably not a great place to eat. But if you're hungry and you want to eat for less, then go for it.
I would say they were just, I don't know if it was the quality so much there as they were just having trouble getting people to either give it a try or to come on in or something like that. When we have as many options as you have in that area.
Yeah, especially,
I think some suffered just for being a lesser option.
Right.
In the minds of.
I mean, there's probably 20 places at Disney Springs that I would rather eat before going back to Planet Hollywood. So it's not going to be on my list for a while.
That's the telltale right there.
Keeping on the spinning of the wheel, it is Grand Fiesta Tour. I know we've talked about it many times on the show, but we'll discuss
it. Yeah, we've done it for different things. So I get to do the cons, though.
Sure.
On the Grand Fiesta Tour.
Yeah.
Let's see. The queue line is the first negative I can think of. It's relatively short. I don't know that it's needed to be long, but there are times whenever it kind of backs up or congests that area right there in the shopping area, basically. Mm-hmm. So there is that. But it moves relatively quick as far as capacity goes. So, I mean, it doesn't usually stay that way for very long, depending on the time of year, I'm sure.
Right, yeah.
So I would say that it suffers from that. I just don't know what you can do about it. So that's that's kind of a con thing. I'd say another con of it is that it's basically got a section that's Mexican Small World. So in that sense, it's kind of lazy. They probably could have come up with a little bit better idea of how to express that than just
basically
go with the Small World-esque thing. I mean, even though I get them putting the three Caballeros in it, some of those scenes seem like they're just a little bit busy, maybe. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they could have done something a little more focused to use them in. Sure. I mean, I know you're passing by them awfully quickly, so whatever it is, you'd have to do quickly, but I don't really get as good a theme out of this one in general, I guess. It's like they just threw the three Caballeros in there in the existing scenes, pretty much. So
yeah, they didn't do a whole lot of new stuff to the when they added them. But let's see, for me the pros are, if you're at Epcot with kids, currently it's the only ride in World Showcase that you can pretty much get on very quickly, no long wait, that kids will enjoy, at least my kids do, I should say. It's not an e-ticket attraction, as they say, but it's enjoyable. You can usually walk right on, or with a very short wait. Epcot right now, I wouldn't say has a ton of rides that are kid-friendly. They have a few, and the ones that they do have aren't great, like Figment and the Seas. Don't love that one. The ones that they do have that are kid-friendly, this is probably my favorite, other than Spaceship Earth, perhaps. So I enjoy it. And I don't think we mentioned, maybe we did, but it's located in the Mexico Pavilion inside the pyramid, for those who may not know. If you go in the pyramid, it's all the way in the back next to the restaurant. And the beginning, you know, you kind of go out around the big pyramid. There's another pyramid inside the pyramid. And it feels like you're in the nighttime, and you go by the restaurant. It's actually really enjoyable in the beginning. And of course, I should mention the end has, we've talked about this many times, but if you haven't heard us talk about it before, the animatronics of the three Caballeros are from the original Mickey Mouse review from Magic Kingdom, an opening day attraction in 1971 that I believe went over to Tokyo for a while as the same attraction and then was closed there. Who knows what happened to all the other animatronics, but these three ended up back at Walt Disney World in Epcot at the Grand Fiesta Tour at the end. So that's kind of your finale with the three of them singing. So it's a cool ending, and for a history, Disney history person, you'll really enjoy that. So there you have it.
There it is.
And let's see, the next one is, okay, so we got another attraction. This is Magic Kingdom, and it is Peter Pan's Flight. So I can start with the pros. It's a classic attraction. It's an opening day for Magic Kingdom attraction. They have added, you know, a very nice queue line area, because this ride has fairly low capacity for a dark ride. So you will be in the line for a while if you don't have a fast pass for this. But they have made the line somewhat more enjoyable by, you go through the scene sort of in the bedroom of the kids, and you can interact with Tinkerbell, and there's other things you can do that are interactive in the queue line. So it makes the wait a little less annoying to have to wait so long to get on this 3-minute attraction. But, you know, I'll let you talk about how much better some of the other versions of this ride are than the Magic Kingdom version, because, yeah.
I'm going to say, yeah, you let me do that, because that's the biggest con that there is. Yes,
I think so.
Yeah. Originally, you wouldn't have this to say, but since time has gone on, it's still not the worst, in my opinion. The worst, I think, is in California.
Yeah. I would agree.
And I say one of the main things that the one from California suffers from is the, I think, it doesn't it still have the stop and go boats or ships, right, or whatever ships, you have?
Yeah, I was trying to think of what,
like, they're not the constantly moving ones like in, yeah, they're not constantly moving in Florida. I think they still had them that way. I don't think they ever changed that.
Yeah, or if they last could, time I did it, they were.
There's that. I think even though they've made some upgrades, it still kind of suffers from being an old technology.
Yeah.
Aside from the stuff in the queue that they added to it, the attraction on the inside has had very little done to it, which I don't understand why. It's actually had less done to it on the inside than the one out in California has. They've actually had some updated effects, and which in Florida there is absolutely been nothing done, and I can tell as far as updating the effects on the inside. So there's that. It's uses effects that involve blacklighting, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's about as old as it gets. Most of the
dark rides did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school.
Well, do they still, yeah, I guess Little Mermaid still does. It's like a classic dark ride style, so.
Yeah.
The dialogue is very repetitive in the scenes. Like, you don't even, like, you can be approaching a scene and you can hear the same, like, dialogue, like, 3 or 4 times before you pass it. Especially the one at the end with the Hook and the crocodile.
Yes, help me.
Because, I mean, you can hear, help me, Mr. Smee, help me. You can hear that like at least 5 or 6 times before you pass it.
Or also the fire, Mr. Smee.
Yes.
Fire, Mr. Smee.
Constantly hear all three.
Fire, Mr. Smee.
The music loop, even though I kind of like it, is repetitive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the whole attraction screams repetitive. Like, there's very little this put into it, really, as far as the audio goes.
Yeah,
because the cue music and the attraction music are the same. I mean, you hear the exact same loop.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Once you get to the part of the cue that's right there before the ride,
so after 75 minutes of standing in line,
you hear it I don't know how many times complete before you even get on it.
Yeah.
And then you hear it how many times while you're riding it. So
yeah,
I thought I was going to have difficulty putting the cons together on this one, but apparently really. When I really thought about it. Because and having said all that, it's actually still one of my favorite Fantasyland attractions.
Wow.
I can't explain the why now. I mean, I've talked myself into all this reasons not to.
Yeah.
Not to have it be one of my favorites.
There's some cool parts. My favorite part of the attraction is going over London. And you're looking down on, you kind of see the little cars moving, and you see the town, you know. Yeah. The Tower
of London. That was pretty good detail, especially for back in the day.
Yeah, it was, that part's well done.
The thing about it is, whenever Shanghai comes along and they make those changes that they did to that version, and it just blows this one away, pretty much.
It does, yeah. I was going to say, too, I thought the Disneyland Paris version was much better than Magic Kingdom's or California's, but the one in Shanghai is incredible. So, moving on to the next one. Okay, so we actually have something from Animal Kingdom for once. And it is one that I'm going to have trouble with, called It's Tough to Be a Bug.
You're going to have trouble doing what?
Pros?
Being pro?
Okay, so this is the 3D film opening day attraction at Animal Kingdom that is under the Tree of Life. So if you walk up to the center of Tree of Life, you know, it's basically kind of under it, sort of. At least you feel like it's under it. For the time when this came out, it was very advanced. You know, the animatronic for, I forgot what the, was it the Grasshopper's name? I forgot. And I haven't seen this movie in forever.
Hopper.
Hopper.
That's his name.
There you go. That should have been obvious. The animatronic for him is really good. And, of course, it mixes some animatronics with the 3D film itself. So, for the time, it was really good. I just don't think 3D films really hold up anymore, especially 20 years after the fact, or 30 years in some cases at Disney World.
All right, so are you moving it over to me for the con?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would say, I want to mention quick on your pro, though, about the Hopper, the animatronic. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to think, this was 1998 when Animal Kingdom opened, and you can still even look at that one now. If you think 20 years ago, I mean, it's still pretty impressive now, mm-hmm. but 20 years ago, I mean, it was probably like, wow.
Very advanced, I mean?
So it was one of the most advanced at the time.
Yeah.
I think the show suffers a little bit. Like, it has an audience that it appeals to, but then it takes that audience and scares the crap out of it.
Yeah.
that being kids.
Yes.
Because, the stuff they did, they're good effects, but a particular age group could seriously be like scared of the things that happen in there. You know, I took my 2-year-old on this, not thinking anything about it, and I think that might have been the cause of her night terror she had while we were there. Ruling it out, at least anyway, because we got to thinking about it. I was like, you know, I think that might have actually been part of it, because, you know, especially the part when Hopper comes out, as you mentioned, he's a little bit on the scary side, but
yeah,
then they start having things like, you know, you being stabbed in the back by stingers and
right. I was going to say that too.
You know, I'm spoiling this for those of you that haven't done this attraction.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Then Black Widow spiders come down out of the ceiling, giant Black Widow spiders. I mean, it's kind of a,
it's terrifying. If you're scared of bugs or have
any especially kind of, if you already have
phobia of insects,
insectophobia.
Yeah. I was going to give a tip for folks, like, if you're afraid of bees or being stung by anything, lean forward in your seat the whole show.
Most definitely.
Because when I did this for the first time in 1999, I was terrified of bees or getting stung at that age, and that scared the crap out of me, having things stick me in the back.
And you weren't even a little kid.
I did not enjoy that at all. So ever since then, every time I've gone, I just lean forward so the thing does not stick me in the back. But yeah. The thing at the end is really cute, though, where they sort of move the bottom of the seat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. It's cute, though, when you think about what it is. Anyway.
I still enjoy this one in general, personally. I mean, I like the film. Yeah. It is dated.
Yeah.
It's showing its age, and the fact that nobody, I mean, there's Bug's Life is probably on the bottom of the totem pole or near it when it comes to Pixar films that have stood the test of time.
Right.
You don't see it much.
Yeah.
And you don't see it talked about much. So as far as an IP, it fit with Animal Kingdom, and I think it was very well done as far as the theming and everything. Yeah. I love the fact that you'd have you walking around and going under a tree and how it looks and everything like that. As far as the theming part goes, and as far as theming goes, it's one of the better attractions, if you ask me, because they really bring you into it. But at the same time, though, with all those things I just mentioned, it's kind of geared toward kids, and then they frighten these kids once they get them in there.
Yeah.
So that's a big con, I would say.
Yeah, it's probably my least favorite of the 3D films, but I would still do it occasionally. Like, you know, every few times I'll see it one more time. But
it's interesting for me ranking the 3D films now. Once Upon a Time would have been easy for me.
Yeah.
But because PhilharMagic's really not standing the test of time, it hasn't felt the same the last couple of times.
Yeah.
I used to really love this one. Right. Something about it has just not stood the test of time now, it seems like. In a weird way, Bug's Life Attraction has stood the test of time better than PhilharMagic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, Muppets are just ageless, so.
Right. Yeah, the Muppets I always still enjoy, even though there's definitely some dated things in it. It's still probably my favorite.
It's the script. It's the story.
Yeah, just funny. Muppets are so good, yeah. Yeah. And this is like classic Jim Henson Muppets, so it's still really good. Yep. Anyway. Okay, well, we've talked about this one a lot, but the Hoop-Dee-Doo came up.
Okay, so you'll have an easy time with this one, but go right ahead.
So, Hoop-Dee-Doo is located Fort Wilderness. I know the con you can say already. Located Fort Wilderness campground. And
I was going to say,
that's the easy con.
So you started out with a con by introducing it, pretty much. Okay,
yes. Gotcha. So it's at Fort Wilderness, next to Crockett's Tavern, Circle D Ranch, all that stuff, near the boat dock. So if you're going to Fort Wilderness by boat, it's a pretty close walk there. And the show is really entertaining. It's been running since the mid-70s, and pretty much the same show that I can recall. I mean, I don't know what it was like in the 70s, but ever since I've been remembering it, it's been a pretty similar show, but funny, always still funny. And a lot of crowd interaction can be really funny at times. And the food is really good. I would say some of the sides are not great, but you get fried chicken, ribs, you know, like corn. The bread they have is really good. What else? Beans, some other vegetables, I think, that you get. The food is really good. Some of the sides are better than others, but as far as like ribs and chicken, really good on both accounts. Unlimited alcohol as well on this one. Of course, unlimited within the confines of a 2-hour show, so you're not going to get completely hammered, but you probably could if you worked it out. Right.
I was going to say, if they're going to make it unlimited, someone could say, like, give me 5. They'll order it. They'll bring it to you.
I guess they would.
Just, like, down it. Bring me another.
I don't know who would. Anyway, but your servers only come out at certain points during the show. So
this is what I was just thinking. I was like, they probably slow it down.
I think they do, yeah.
The number of times they visit you.
Yeah, I think they do intentionally. And, you know, you get some audience participation at the end. Even if you don't get on stage, they'll bring out the washboards where everybody can kind of play along at the end, sing along. So it's a fun show. I have done this several times, even recently. So it's enjoyable. Definitely worth doing if you can. And it's not terribly priced for what you get. The food and the show, it's pretty good price, so. Those are the pros I could think of.
Okay. So then I actually came up with, I mean, again, this is a great experience overall, but I've come up with quite a few cons when I was sitting here thinking about it.
Yeah.
This experience can be, the level of enjoyment can depend on where you sit, in my opinion. I feel like the upstairs, you don't get quite the same experience, especially if you're sitting at the ones in the very back. I think are some of the worst. You would think the sides would be, but I think the reason why I say this in the back is because even though you can kind of see down in there on the show, I don't know, it's something about the perspective, the angle, that it just takes something away from the experience, especially if your first experience or the experiences you've had before have been on the floor. And there's even a few tables on the floor that could be considered not so great, but the upper, I don't I mean, I know they're cheaper. I just think you have a better overall experience if you're on the floor.
Yeah, so, especially if you want interaction. The only tip I would give for people with small kids, if you don't want them to be rowdy or loud and interrupting things, is sitting in the balcony is not a bad option there, because you have a little bit more seclusion.
The biggest con, probably, even though I didn't start with this one, in my opinion, is transportation. And I say this because it's not really the easiest place to get to at any point in time. Your best bet, as we've mentioned before, is on a Magic Kingdom day, taking the boat over for a dinner. Other than that, even if you're staying at a Magic Kingdom resort, you're having multiple stops to get over there, especially if you're at the Polynesian. You go to Magic Kingdom, I want to say it actually touches the Contemporary on the way over there. I think that's right anyway. It may be a different boat I'm thinking of, because I think now that I think about it, the one that goes to Wilderness Lodge is the one that touches the Contemporary, so it may not be the one that goes to Fort Wilderness. But not only that, depending on which show you have that evening, as far as the getting back to where you came from, if you're in the early show, sure, you can still get the boat back. However, if you're the late show, the boat dock is closed once you're done. So then you have to go through the maze that is the Fort Wilderness bus system in order to get back to where you need to be. And if where you need to be is to get to the Magic Kingdom parking lot, that's even worse to get back to your vehicle.
Gosh, yeah, so, think about that.
Because you're gonna go all over the world, all over the place, just to get back.
Got to take like two buses?
Yes. You have to go from their inner bus.
Right. And then the ferry boat or the monorail to get back to the parking lot.
It will be an ordeal. That's probably the biggest con.
Yeah.
Is getting to me is the transportation.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest place to get to. Is it worth it to go over there to see it? Yes. But it's not going to be easy as far as finding your way there, unless you go, as we mentioned, the Magic Kingdom route.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way, probably.
Right.
Yeah. Or staying at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah.
That's
true. You could do that.
Yeah.
The last time we did this was on a Halloween party. The last time I ate there was a Halloween party day, and we did the 4 o'clock show. And as soon as we were out, it was almost time for the Halloween party to start. So by the time we got back to Magic Kingdom, it was like 6:50, and the party starts at 7, so it was actually pretty good timing as far as timing it for the Halloween party. Not bad.
I'm gonna take one of your pros and say that it could also be a con, depending on the person. The bottomless alcohol for some could be a con when it's all said and done.
That is true.
It could be a con in the sense that you're bringing, you know, it's a family still oriented show, but you know, there that increases the possibility that there's going to be someone who's fairly intoxicated, and depending on what type of drunk that person is, they could probably be very annoying. So there's always that threat, I should say, with that. So it's both a pro and a con.
That's a good point.
The last one is the show itself. It's still good, and I don't think you got a chance to see the original show, because they had to make alterations to it due to copyrights and stuff when some of the songs in the show. And they still tried to stick to the original show as much as they possibly could. But for someone who's seen the original show, it kind of takes something away from it whenever you see the
current
latest rendition, the revamped version. Kind of takes a little bit away from it. I wish they would have just ponied up the dough or whatever they had to do to keep the original songs personally, but that must have been expensive, or it must not have been an option, all I can say. But at least they tried to keep it as much to the original as they could legally, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like. I have to give a con to that, just like I said, having experienced the original show. So. Mm.
So we've gone pretty long on time, but I did finally get something for Hollywood Studios. The first thing that came up was Toy Story Mania.
Okay.
So.
You want me to go cons first?
Go ahead. I'll end on a positive note.
Well, I don't really know about the current location because I haven't been since it's been in Toy Story Land with the new entrance. I will say the old one, I think the configuration was a con personally, but I don't know if that's a problem anymore. Let's see. Gosh, cons are kind of hard to do with this one. I think the biggest con is, for what it is, and even though I do find it enjoyable, is the wait times on it are usually, in my opinion, not worth the wait most of the time. Because like I said, I enjoy the attraction, but the waits just get so unbelievably long for it. I just don't get... I have a hard time justifying just a, I don't know, just a 40-minute wait or whatever being worth it for this attraction. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
I think capacity, it still suffers a little bit from that, even though it improved when they added the other track. I think even now it still suffers a little bit from capacity. But I haven't checked the, I don't know, I haven't checked the wait times lately, so maybe that's improved too.
I've got a con. Too much,
especially since I haven't done the new entrance, which I'm sure the attraction itself is the same. So,
Yeah.
Outside of the fact that I think there is a level of creativity that could have been added a little more with it being Pixar and Toy Story, as far as the game itself goes. And maybe it's because it was built over 10 years ago now. Maybe that has a little something to do with it.
Could be, yeah.
But there you go. That's about the worst I can do with this one.
The one con I would throw in is that I think it's a little bit more difficult to score unless, like, at the end is when I make up all my points, you know, the bonus round at the end. But I always, like, throw my arm out because you're forced to pull the, you know, if for anyone who hasn't done it yet, it's a 3D game that a bunch of, like, carnival type games in 3D, but your gun essentially, or your weapon, whatever you want to call it, is to pull the string out of this little gun, like kind of like a carnival game, some carnival games. And you really have to, at the end, you have to do it so quickly that it hurt, like I always hurt myself doing this attraction because I'm trying to score points, because for me it's more difficult to score points in this game than, say, like Buzz Lightyear.
You know, it kind of reminds me of, like, there's a, I guess, a strategy as far as which, this is going to sound bad either way I say it, but which hand you can have the quickest wrist action right. with. Right. That's the best way I know to describe it. Sorry, I can't think of a better way.
But I'm left-handed, so I... use my left hand for the trigger, so
yeah,
it's easier. But to
it kind of reminded me a little bit of, you remember how we used to play the Mario Party back in the day?
Yes.
That
yes.
one game
where you had to
use the joystick. Yes. And had to, like, turn it really fast or whatever. Yes. I can't remember which game it was.
Castaway.
It was one of the fishing games. Yeah, I think
Castaways or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. It was a fun one, but still you had to. I'm yes. surprised the controllers didn't break.
Well, I mean, you did wear the controllers out. Anyway, the pros, I'll say, as far as the current version or the current location of the queue line, as long as the queue line isn't over a certain length, like 90 minutes probably, you're going to be inside for the duration of the queue in the air conditioning, which at Toy Story Land you have zero air conditioning. For the most part, or shade for that matter. So this is the one queue line you can actually wait in the air conditioning, which is a huge plus. If you're hot and tired and you are in Toy Story Land, just jump in this line, because other than the bathroom, it's the only air conditioning you're going to get. So there you have it. And the ride is always enjoyable. Like, you know, it's fun. I enjoy doing it because I'm trying to figure out how to get better scores, because I get okay scores, but when you look at the end, like, you know, they show the, like, the best this month or best this day or whatever, it's always like twice or three times as high as I can seem to get with this game. So
yeah,
I'm like, who is racking up like 500,000 points on this game? Like, how are they doing this? Because I'm getting like 170 or like 200,000 is like the most I've ever gotten. Something
somebody
like that.
That knows the ins and outs.
I guess I need to learn the tricks of this one. Like Buzz, I know a lot of those.
It's not worth my time. either one of them, it's not worth my time.
I guess so. But anyway, it's a fun game. It's worth doing. All ages can do it. So it's one of the few.
I was gonna say. With the Buzz one, I mean, sometimes it's broken and it makes it look like you maxed out anyway, so you can just say you did.
Yeah. With Buzz Lightyear, I know where some of the secret ones are, like the 100,000 targets. So all you got to do is hit it 6 times and you max out. So.
You know, you got to think, as many times as either of these games are going throughout the day, I mean, there's going to be glitches. I mean, there's just so much room for that.
Maybe that's why.
As often as these things are running.
Yeah. The high score of the month is always like 500,000 or something.
Yeah.
It's a glitch. Anyway, so that'll do it for this episode. I think this episode, at least we hit all 4 parks, 1 resort, several restaurants, so, and 1 dining show. Incidentally, right?
It just randomly popped up that way.
Well, yes. I mean, the Hollywood Studios took some time. Took a few tries, but I got that one finally. So... not a bad spread for this episode. And we also have a website that you can go to, travelingthemouse.com. It's nice and pretty there. You can see all of our past episodes and links to all of our other things that we're going to talk about are all there. But you can also email us podcast@travelingthemouse.com. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/twtmpodcast.
We also have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at TWTM Podcast. And we have a Spreadshirt store in which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise that would be short for Traveling with the Mouse, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I did that one all by myself. You can get that merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt/TWTM Podcast.
So for John, my name is Adam, and... we will see you on our next trip.